Everyone had a movie that terrified them and was a source of their childhood nightmares, right? Was yours based on a true story? Because mine was. I'm Liz, and this is Mombi, a paranormal podcast, where I come to you once a week with a different paranormal tale. So grab your coffee, wine, or beverage of choice, and let's go. We're going to start out this podcast with the story that inspired a movie. This movie was the source of my nightmares in childhood. That movie would be Fire in the Sky, and it was inspired by the book Travis Walton wrote about his alien abduction. This is his story. Travis Walton's story started on November the 5th, 1975. He was a 22-year-old logger at the time working in the Sitgreaves National Forest near his hometown of Snowflake, Arizona. Snowflake is one of those small towns where everybody knows everybody and is in everyone else's business. They are a very religious town, and these guys are like the rednecks of this town. Redneck is actually what Travis referred to himself as, not me saying anything about rednecks. Heck, a good portion of my family can be described as them. Side note, because I had to know, does it snow in Snowflake, Arizona? The answer actually seems to be not much. They average maybe 0.1 inches at a time in their cold months. I had to goog. All right, so back to the story. Travis was working for his close friend Mike Rogers. The other men there that night were John Gulliet, Ken Peterson, Steve Pierce, Dwayne Smith, and Alan Dallas. I've also heard it pronounced as Dallas, so I'm not sure which one's correct. So they were running behind on a contract with the Forest Service. They were working later than usual this night, and it was dark when they headed home. All seven men were in one truck, driving down a road in the forest on their way home. They all reported seeing what they thought was a huge fire through the trees. Travis convinced Mike to check it out. As they got closer, they realized it was no fire. They came upon a metal glowing object in a clearing in the forest about 30 feet from the road and about 15 feet hovering above the trees. Travis seemed drawn to this craft and was actually jumping out of the truck before Mike had even stopped completely. He began running toward the craft as his friends and co-workers stayed in the truck and yelled for him to come back to the truck. As Travis got close to the UFO, he reports hearing a low rumbling sound, like an engine being turned on. The sound made him turn back to run to the vehicle. This is when Travis loses consciousness and reports not remembering what happened. The other six men reported that Travis is hit by what appears to be a beam of light and is thrown back 15 feet. They report he lands in a way that would have been difficult for a person to survive. They never really elaborate on how he hit the ground or what hit the ground first. Like, I'm assuming that they thought he didn't survive it, that it had to have been either a really hard fall, he had to have hit something very detrimental like his head, or he just literally went up so high that when he actually came down and hit the ground, they figured he didn't survive it. But I don't know what makes them think that he didn't survive this fall. But anyway, assuming that their friend is now dead on the forest floor and they may be next, they nope right out of there and drive away. Yes, leaving their friend laying there. But remember, they think it's his dead body, not actually their friend. However, imagine you're looking at a spaceship that has just, in your opinion, killed your friend. Would you really get out and go get their body? No. Sorry, homie. I'm gonna come back for your body, but I can't help you if we are both dead. Is that just me? Because I hope not. Anyway, so shortly after driving home, they began to feel bad and they went back to get his body, only to find it wasn't there. That's right, both the craft and Travis were missing. Imagine that drive back. You know, they had to be like, we are going to jail. No one is going to believe this dude just got taken by aliens. I really wonder if they were talking at all, or if they were all just so traumatized that they didn't say anything. The movie's pretty close to their account of what happened to this point. I mean, they took some leeway with an underlying story with Mike's sister being with Travis and stuff like that, but the abduction minus the awesome 1993 special effects is pretty close to the story they told. So Travis is gone for 5 days. This is a problem for Travis's friend Mike and his coworkers. The town and law enforcement, they think they are responsible for him missing. In the Travis Walton documentary I watched, it did say that the sheriff of the town had had some of his own experiences with seeing UFOs. However, the town is convinced they have murdered Travis and hidden his body. That is until 5 days later when Travis returns. Now, this is where the movie takes a 180 from the actual story that Travis tells. So, I will compare them with the actual story of the abduction. In Travis's account, he comes back wearing the same clothes, thinking it's the same day. He's like 10 pounds lighter and has about 5 days worth of beard growth. He does report having one small puncture wound to the right inside elbow, but denies having any bruises even after getting thrown through the air. The only thing he really has mark-wise is this puncture mark on the inside of his right elbow, and then he's got about 5 days worth of beard growth, and he's about 10 pounds lighter. And I don't know about y'all, but I could stand to be abducted by aliens like maybe once or twice, because I could sure use to be about 20 to 30 pounds lighter. Anyway, this is what he reports. He calls his brother from the gas station near where he has returned. In the movie, he calls Mike from the gas station. However, when they find him, he is naked, of course. I mean, why would Hollywood miss an opportunity in a movie to make someone naked? Though I guess this probably plays more into the potential probing that we are scared will happen during an alien abduction. He also has two black eyes with puncture wounds on the outer corner of his eye. He has dried blood in his nostril. He's traumatized and screaming when anyone touches him. Now, in the story told by Travis and his brother, they take him to a hospital in Phoenix. They didn't tell Sheriff Gillespie, who is the sheriff of the town, that he was back until they were out of town. This is where it makes people doubt Travis's story. However, his brother reports he didn't feel he was in a state to be able to answer questions about his disappearance. I mean, imagine your brother's just come back. He says he's been abducted by aliens. He's talking about all of these different things, and that's where he's been. I mean, would you really want him to give a statement to the police? Because I'm pretty sure that I wouldn't. I mean, who's going to believe that type of statement? They're just going to think he's crazy and put him in a psych ward for observation, right? I mean, that's what I would assume would happen in the situation, but who knows? Anyway, so once he's examined, that puncture wound seems more interesting to me. While Travis has lost 10 pounds in these 5 days, indicating he probably hadn't eaten, his urine didn't show ketones. So ketones let us know when our body's breaking down things like fat and muscle, right? And we do that when we are starving. So the fact that he doesn't have any of these ketones would make me think that somehow his body got some type of nutrition. So my question as a nurse is, were they giving him TPN, also known as IV nutrition? This does make his claim more interesting to me, because this isn't something he would have available to him without being in a hospital. If he was hiding for these 5 days, where did he get IV nutrition? So now I will talk about the part of the movie that terrified me as a child. This is the part of the movie that had me looking out my window each night. I don't know why, but I guess if they were coming for me, I was going to see them coming. I was going to be ready for them. They weren't sneaking up on me. But that's right. I thought the solution to my fear of being abducted was literally leaving my window open so that I could see the aliens coming. Don't ask me. I don't know. Okay, so in the movie, he wakes up in some sort of pod with a membrane covering him. He breaks through this membrane only to fall out and into a cavity that seems to have no gravity. I don't know how he fell, but yeah, there's that. He seemed to keep a hold of an umbilical cord, is what it makes me think of, though it wasn't really attached to him in any way. So he uses this cord. He then swings into another pod where there is a corpse who, warning, because this part is really gross, whose stomach area is just basically decayed. There's no abdominal area to him whatsoever. So he falls into this, which of course freaks him out, as it would anyone. Next, he finds himself being sucked into a compartment with aliens, only to realize it's actually only their spacesuits, so it's like their extraterrestrial closet. He thinks he's kind of out of the clear here, but then he's suddenly grabbed by an alien. He kicks the alien and runs away. They find him and pull him down the hallway. I will say that these aliens are weird looking for aliens. They're supposed to be the Greys. But they have, instead of very large eyes, they have these very small, squinty eyes and look like they've been doing CrossFit. I'm not even joking, these aliens are ripped. They then tear all of his clothes off. I guess that's why they find him naked in the movie. They've taken all of his clothes off, they put him on this table, and they cover him with some sort of membrane that covers him and then tightens down to hold him in place. And it covers him basically from head to toe. This part happened super quickly and was much more pronounced in my childhood memories than it was rewatching it. But yeah, that part really freaked me out. So they cut a hole in the membrane over his eye and mouth. They shove a bite block into his mouth and put what looks like molasses in there. They then seem to do like a forced EGD or scope of the stomach. They also at the same time shove these large metal rods into the sides of his neck. And put a metal thing around his eye that holds his eye open. I don't actually know what that, I don't do eyes, so I don't know what that thing's called. But it's a little metal thing like the eye doctor would put around your eye if he was doing like a surgery on you to keep your eyelids open. This is the part I remember most vividly from when I was young. This is the part that had me terrified of being abducted by aliens. It had me terrified of touching my eyeballs. So there's an eyeball warning. If you have a thing with eyeballs, I'm about to talk about eyeballs. They bring out this huge machine. This machine attaches to the metal rods and shoves a giant needle down the side of his eye. Okay. I don't know why. I don't know what it's supposed to be for. That's what it does. That was traumatic for me. The good news is that this is all made up by Hollywood and wasn't anywhere close to what really happened. So now, we went down that movie rabbit hole. Let's get back to what actually was reported happening by Travis. So Travis wakes up in a spacecraft. He is laying on a table and he is surrounded by three of the Greys. He describes them as whitish gray aliens with big eyes and underdeveloped features. He pushes two of them away and gets off the table. He grabs a glass tube and tries to break it like you would a beer bottle in a bar fight. Most redneck thing I can think you would do, right? This glass tube, I'm assuming it's like a beaker or something, sort of a lab tube, but it won't break. So this is when he gets ready to use, in his words, karate. And my biggest question for all of this is, does he actually know karate? Or is he just going to do what he thinks karate looks like in the movies? Because I don't know that Travis Walton actually knows karate. So we don't find out if he does know karate or not because the aliens leave the room. They are very non-confrontational, I guess. Once he starts to get confrontational with them, they just get out of there. So he follows them into the hallway and he goes the opposite way of what he saw the aliens go. Next, he finds himself entering a room with a chair and controls. It seems to be some type of control station, I guess, for the actual UFO. He reports the whole room looked like the sky with stars everywhere. So I just have to wonder, was this a big window and he was looking at space? Or was this like a planetarium where the stars were just projected all over the walls? So before he really has time to explore this room, this tall, blonde, human-looking man with unnaturally vivid hazel eyes wearing a space helmet comes in and grabs him by the arm. This man says nothing, but brings him to a room with three more human-looking beings. Travis says there are two men and one woman, and they all have the same features as the first man, which leads me thinking, like, are these robots? Are they some sort of, like, advanced AI that the aliens have developed to look and act like us so that we then feel more comfortable? Are they other aliens? I mean, I know there's some, like, the Nordic aliens are said to have, like, blonde hair and kind of very, you know, beautiful features and look very human-like. So are they other aliens that are working with them? Or are these actual like robots that these aliens have that they're using, which is not, this is not the first story that I've heard of where they reported robots actually doing the manual labor of the aliens. So who knows? That could be an interesting theory. Travis says they placed what looks like an oxygen mask over his face. And the next thing he knew, he was back on Earth and waking up outside of the gas station. A lot of the stories I listen to about Travis's abduction go into the polygraph tests that were taken. I mean, so the men all took a polygraph test when Travis was missing, and all but one of them passed. And the one that passed, or the one that didn't pass, he didn't actually fail it. It was just inconclusive. But they were all said to be very upset about their friends, you know, being dead and abducted by aliens. They were a bit hysterical. If that were the case, any of them really could have had a bad polygraph test, because polygraph tests just literally measure the amount of stress that you're under. They assume that if you're feeling stress, you're lying. A lot of people go into that. They have taken polygraph tests throughout the years. Some of them they've passed. Some of them they've failed. But if you know anything about a polygraph test, if you've watched or listened to anything that has to do with murder or anything like that, you know that polygraph tests are really unreliable. I mean, they're really unreliable. So I guess this is my PSA for y'all. If you don't listen to anything true crime, but don't ever agree to a polygraph test, okay? Even if you're innocent, always ask for an attorney. I know what you're saying, but Liz, it will make me look guilty. I don't care. Always ask for the attorney. Don't take a drink. Don't blow your nose. Don't say anything, but I want an attorney. Trust me. I'm not trying to help you get away with murder. I'm just saying, don't say anything, don't do anything until you have adequate legal representation there with you, okay? That's my PSA on that. I'm going to get off of that. In the documentary, in real life, Travis wrote a book about his experiences. It's been about 45 years, and his story really hasn't changed. He lived mostly a quiet life, other than talking about his experience at UFO events. So every now and then, I guess he goes to these UFO events and talks about his experiences. But other than that, he really didn't really seek a lot of fame and notoriety for this. He did sign like an exclusive story to the National Enquirer, which if you know the National Enquirer, you know that was probably not the best choice, because that is one of those fluff pieces that usually is said, you know, to be a little more out there and not so much true. But he did sign away an exclusive deal with them at the beginning. In the documentary, Travis, the true story of Travis Walton, which I did watch, they asked him why he thinks the aliens abducted him only that one time. And his answer actually surprised me quite a bit. Travis says he feels he got too close to the spacecraft, and the energy from the craft actually did kill him. He believes the aliens took him on board to revive him, and without them, he would be dead, because the nearest hospital was, I guess, really, really far away. Like, I think he said it was like an hour away. They ask him this, I guess, because a lot of people that report alien abductions actually report being abducted multiple times throughout their lifetime. Most people don't report just one alien abduction and then it's over. They usually report some type of the aliens watching them in some way, feeling like the aliens come into their house when they're sleeping. Then they're actually abducted. And then they continue to be abducted. So it's a little bit different as far as him just reporting being abducted the one time. So I'm assuming that's why they kind of ask him why he thinks the aliens abducted him just this once. In the movie, of course, they make a joke about this. At the end, Mike asks him why, or if he thinks the aliens will be back, and he says, no, I don't think they liked me very much. So that's kind of the joke in the movie at the end there. So now let's go into a little bit of evidence of the abduction. They did have the physical evidence that Travis had. So he had that one puncture wound on the inside of his elbow. He had lost those 10 pounds and had about 5 days of beard growth, but he was lacking those ketones in his urine, which would indicate that he had actually broken down like muscle and fats to survive for those 5 days without having anything to eat. And he didn't seem to be dehydrated as far as they said. So, I mean, he had to have gotten some type of IV nutrition and hydration. Otherwise, like, he would have had signs that he didn't have those things. The other evidence that they have, they actually looked at the trees where this occurred, and the trees that had been cut down around the area, they noticed starting in about 1975, because you can actually count the rings back on trees and see kind of where they've come in contact with different elements throughout the years. So starting in 1975, there was advanced growth in those trees, but only on the side in which the craft was reported to be. The other side of the tree grew normally, while the inside where the craft had been actually grew with advanced growth. So it makes you wonder, like, did the radiation the UFO put out actually cause this advanced growth? I mean, if it did, you know, is that a sign? Is that evidence that the aliens were actually there? I guess that's really up to you. Mike years later did change his story and says they thought they would get an extension on their logging contract from this abduction. And that is why they made it up. However, the other men haven't changed their story. Travis says that they lost the contract anyway, so really they didn't have any reason to lie if they lost it anyway and to continue lying. You know, they could have just given it up when they said, hey, you lost the contract anyway. But Mike's the only one that ever changed his story. So are we to believe Mike or are we to believe the other six men that were there? So I guess the question from this whole thing is, was Travis Walton abducted or did he and his friends fake this story to get an extension from the Forest Service on their logging contract? It's up to you to decide for you. As for me, I believe him. The sources I used for this story will be listed in the show notes. Okay, well, that's the movie that traumatized me and started my love of the paranormal all at the same time. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to my podcast and join me next week for another story of the paranormal. Follow me on all the things at Mombi Podcast. Let me know on Instagram what paranormal topics you are interested to hear about. And tell me, do you think Travis was resuscitated by aliens and then returned? Or do you think it was all made up? Okay, Mombies, until next week, may your coffee be strong and your wine be stronger. Bye!